So, as part of that, and connected to the concert and the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus, I'm privileged to get to introduce our speaker today, Mr. Eric Shepherd. Eric Shepherd is the new artistic director and conductor of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus. So, just a brief bit about Eric's background. Eric, like myself, comes from an education background. Eric grew up in Des Moines and he went and got his bachelor's of music degree in education, with an emphasis in musical theater and conducting at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. He came back to Iowa. He left, but he came back. So we're glad about that. Through a couple different educational experiences, he landed at Johnston High School as the director of vocal music. And as most of you probably know, if you're a director of vocal music, you do just about everything. You're director of this choir, that choir, the other choir. Oh, yeah, and that choir. So in addition to directing, using his talents for choreography for the different groups, probably a little fundraising in there. Over the years, Eric had quite a few experiences with his groups, kind of won some really neat local and regional awards, and had some experiences traveling with different groups in and around the United States and taking groups over to Europe, different countries, kind of assisting and leading and just, guiding groups throughout Europe. When he left education, he moved into the corporate world. So Eric has a background there too. He's worked for Target and Principal. And currently, Eric works for Sammons Financial. He raises voices as their change and inclusion practitioner. And one of the strengths we loved about Eric coming on board as our artistic director is that he has a solid background in equity and diversity inclusion. He has a couple certificates and some background with that from Cornell University and the University of South Florida. So I'd love for all of you to welcome the artistic director of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus, Mr. Eric Shepherd.
I always go off script, and here we go. Wait, thank you so very much for that kind introduction. It's always humbling to sit there and go, oh gosh, okay, yep, that's my background. And then to even think about writing about who I am and sharing that with all of you was even probably more of a challenge in saying I don't really like talking about myself. So Wade assured me that this is a very, very welcoming crowd. And as I walked in the room, I thought, yep. He's very right. If I go back on script now, I actually think about a particular song that some of you might have heard recently. The lyrics start with, I was only part of me boxed in a space that felt too small. I was burning energy till I thought I had none at all. I hit a wall, I crashed on through. But I didn't fall. No, I found you, fellow travelers, crashing through those all familiar barriers, leaving all the fears behind, and sometimes flying blind till we could find sanctuary. Now, granted, the chorus sang that a little bit more complete and definitely better than I just did at 7 a.m. But those words and that music was part of the newest commission for the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus that we premiered in late March. As we think about each of our lives, there have been times that many of us have felt less than, or that there wasn't a space big enough for us. And for me, growing up here in the heart of Des Moines, whether to be on the north side or until my parents took me out west, west life is peaceful there, I suppose. We'll quote a song there as well. Out into the land of Urbandale or Urbandale, as I spoke about it growing up, it's one of those things that I, growing up, didn't know a lot of folks that were part of the LGBTQ community. And as an educator and someone that is still on my own journey of figuring out exactly who I am and where I can make an impact, those particular words rang true as we looked at commissioning a piece for this course in this time and in this moment. For me, you know, being a graduate of Urbana High School and Nebraska Lincoln, as Wade mentioned, well, I probably should say I'm not a sports ball fanatic. So I went to Nebraska because someone saw something in me and said, "Hey, have you ever thought about Nebraska?" And I literally scoffed in his face, actually. Like, no. You know, I mean, I Des Moines guy. And so thinking outside of the you know, borders of the state of Iowa, but never was under, you know, on my radar because my parents are humble folks. My dad's a retired painter, tradesman. My mom's a retired secretary and firefighter. Both never went to college. And so for me, even thinking about one, what my identity was, to where I might go to school outside following my older sister to Wartburg College, or Warthog U as I used to call it. I had a path. I thought this is what I was supposed to do. Everybody said, you know, you're going to do this, go marry your high school sweetheart. She's great. She's married. She's got kids. She's wonderful. Still talk to her to this day. Fills you in on a little few things there in my background. But the most important thing is I think about the start of my journey. It really was the beginning of figuring out who I was. That particular professor, which actually was about 22 years ago now, saw me at a national show choir competition. I was the opening soloist and came and found me afterwards and asked me that question about going to Nebraska. It led me to places and spaces I never thought I'd be. Wade mentioned traveling in Europe, helping 250, I think, high school students at the time get around London, Paris, Austria. Took me to Waterford, Ireland, to the International Festival of Light Opera. I happened to be, you know, had the honor of being a chorus master for that particular event. And people from little, you know, Nebraska, collegiate group from Nebraska, actually won the best chorus out of that. And so one of those things that I hold my hat pretty high. I'm like, internationally, I'll take it, right? But anyways, bringing it all back to just the doors that were open because someone saw something in me, led me into my education career that Wade spoke of. I had the opportunity to do a lot of amazing things in college, you know, whether it was being on the stage, I mean, 50 some productions, whether they be cabarets or full stage lead center or, you know, civic center style productions I was a part of. All those things happened because someone asked me that question and there was a door and I was like, okay, I'm walking through. I don't know what's happening next. And so as an educator or someone that was aspiring to make an impact, even then I thought, well, gosh, I could go, and I auditioned professionally. I went to Nashville, Tennessee that last semester of my senior year of college, along with student teaching, helping run the Big Red Singers, which was the collegiate show choir I'd helped starting. I had two jobs and I thought, okay, well, why not add one more thing, right? Travel and go see if you can be a professional musician. So I did that, but everything kept coming back to the opportunity someone had given me, and I wanted to extend that. And that spring, May 6th, 2006, I accepted my first teaching job. Clearly it's been a long week. Eric's a little misty-eyed. That first teaching job led me, you know, to the middle of Nebraska. I didn't know anybody. Clearly was a closeted gay kid that hadn't come out yet. You know, started a circle of friends that were still in Lincoln, so I could travel back to Lincoln every once in a while. But then there was just something missing. My family was still here. My older sister had my niece, who's now 16, going on 17, another musical reference. And she was expecting twins, twin boys. And so as I thought about that last year while I was in Nebraska, I made the mistake of calculating how many hours I was spending trying to give back to students in that school system. And teachers don't make a lot of money. And I never again calculated how many hours and what my salary was at $2.80 an hour. Fun fact, I went, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm not doing the best for me. There were things that I still wanted to find out about myself. My sister I knew was going to need help. And I came right back here to Des Moines. that door to be an uncle or Uncle E, as I'm called, opened. And I was like, I'm going to be there. I spent some time in the Des Moines Public Schools and then found myself in Johnston, where that last year teaching in Johnston, I counted 102 hours worth of work in a couple different weeks in that January and February timeframe. Have so many fond memories of those students and the work that was done there. And now in corporate life, I've ran into several of them as they're starting their careers or getting momentum. And so as I think about some of the opportunities that I had to impact them as youth, it got me thinking, what else can I do? In the corporate world, as Wade mentioned, I've spent the last 6 years as a diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging practitioner. Recently shifting into a more change management focus, which is thinking about the people side of change. Like, hey, we're all human, right? How do these things impact us? And taking that work there. But in my first few years as a DEI practitioner, the ideas of opening doors for others really began to come to life. As I think about that work, it's all been around using an empathetic lens for those in front of us, thinking about how do I engage each person that's in front of me, whether physically in the room, on Zoom. Hi. Oh, and I got a wave too. But thinking about that work, there was something missing. Most of my time in Target, very few people while I was at Principal knew I had a music background. I kind of shut my music background off in 14. Thought I never would pick up a baton again. And some doors again started opening. Someone said, hey, you know, you're working in this space. We've got a board we'd like you to serve on. That was my first venture back into the nonprofit space after doing some of that work in college, and currently serving for the next, I guess, 2 weeks, 3 weeks as the vice chair of Community Youth Concepts, which is a youth organization right in the heart of Des Moines here, that focuses on youth because we believe in them. We believe in all youth. And basically where I'm going with that is kind of giving back and opening doors for others started to ignite a fire again. And then a good friend, John Mark, reached out to me in the atrium of Principal Financial Group and said, hey, there's some openings on this chorus board. And I'm like, well, what chorus? And he said, well, the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus. And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, you should do it. I know you're a musician. I mean, he's a pianist. And so we've connected over that. I said, well, gosh, I hadn't done anything with DMGMC in 10, 12, 13 years, back when Dr. Gruber said, hey, Eric, will you come choreograph this? We'd like you to sing a solo with the group. And I thought, well, sure, I can do that, because I couldn't do Monday nights as a teacher back in that time. I had rehearsals. They had rehearsals. John Mark said that. And I said, well, shoot, maybe this is that next door for me and finding a way to make an impact. And that started my journey again with the DMGMC, where I joined the board of directors about just over 2.5 years ago, or maybe it's 2 years ago now. Time, as you all have probably gathered, it's kind of like stood still for 2 years. But joined the board. And then for the last little while, prior to becoming the third artistic director, served as the chair of the programming committee as we were working through the transition of Rebecca Gruber stepping down after 15 amazing years of building the organization. We needed a consistency plan to think about what would happen until we named the next artistic director. I stepped away from the board late last year as things were being finalized and I was doing my formal audition. And what I realized as I was doing some more self-reflection, which I skipped a whole bunch of things I wanted to tell you about, including my husband, so I'm going to do that now. But in conversations with my husband, Cliff, who we swiped right, and it was good stuff. We've been married for almost 5 years now together, seven. I just was talking about it. And he, you know, in that time, he never knew me as a musician. He's become to know me in that light, and, you know, through the time in the chorus and seeing me on stage. And he's like, there's just a light back in you. He's like, I've never seen this light. And the chorus brought that for me. So last year, when I put my name in the ring to potentially be the next artistic director, it was like a a heart-wrenching, is this the door I'm supposed to be going through thing? And so thinking about that very first time where someone took a chance on me, it happened for that collegiate experience. It happened in my teaching career. It happened when I was that principal. Someone said, hey, Eric, you should be in the DEI space. And then this door again happened. I stepped through it and not only had the opportunity to help lead the group through our 20th anniversary celebration last spring, no rain, no hail, won't stop us from singing. Was named, as Wade mentioned, the third artistic director in late last year. And I've had the privilege and honor of serving in that capacity for the last little while. It seems a lot longer than that. I'm sure Wade is going, hey, Eric, I got another email for you. And I'm like, hey, Wade, I got another thing for you. As we thought through it, but one of the reasons and one of the biggest reasons I wanted to step into this light or step through this door was to continue to think about the impact I'd made in the corporate space, thinking as a DEI practitioner, really walking the talk and thinking about as an LGBTQ individual, how can I make sure that I am a beacon of light for those that need it? Because that little high school kid needed it. And that was that little guy. If I could go back 25 years, right, I probably share quite a few things I've learned along the way. But all of those experiences to date made me who I am. And so having this opportunity to impact the community in a new way, utilizing the skills that Wade mentioned, you know, bringing my worlds together, my music world, my DEI and corporate world into one sphere of influence is probably to date one of the greatest privileges I've had. And as I focused on bringing this organization into the next 20 years, it's really been thinking about what made us who we are. That was the start of this whole conversation. And the board of directors had begun a series of discussions and conversations with patrons, community members, singing members to really land on a set of guideposts. We sing music that matters. The March concert almost every year is really focused on LGBTQ repertoire and LGBTQ message. And then it's woven in different ways, as Wade mentioned, with the upcoming concert. It's a different light of what music we do and why it might matter to our community. But as I think about the guideposts that were set up in place, we promote harmony by singing. We focus on igniting hearts and minds, which as an educator was something that I always stepped into the classroom to do. I didn't step into it for the glitz and glamour. Now, granted, come June 9, 10, 11, there's some glitz and glamour, and there always is a time and a place for that. But what I've learned from my education days and my practitioner days is that we have to create the space and place for people to be who they are. And as I think about this work as the third artistic director, it still seems strange to be the third artistic director and even say it out loud. I've worked with Wade, the artistic staff, and the board of directors to find ways that we can create the spaces and places for people to be seen and heard. Which, from those guideposts, we've begun a strategic planning process on what does that look like for the next little while. I started the talk, or I meant to start the talk, with that little clip from the commissioned work that we just premiered. But that's one of the big things that I focused on during my time auditioning and having discussions leading up to being appointed the artistic director is sharing the stories of the LGBTQ community and being a beacon of hope for those that need to see us. So over the next few years, I anticipate, and the plan in place is that we will continue that work of creating new music, partnering with LGBTQ composers across the country, to bring new music right here to the heart of Des Moines and right in Iowa, but then also have the opportunity to share that nationally. We, every 4 years, minus the pandemic, come together with what are called gala choruses from across the country and some of them around the world to showcase music, to showcase what we do in our communities each and every day. And we will be commissioned, you know, with some of those commissions, be sharing that with those folks from across the country. Some of the next things as I've thought about the aspirational things that we can do is thinking about the youth, which kudos to this fine community of folks that have created scholarship opportunities in that amount I'm floored, completely off script, by the way. Don't even know where I'm at in this. So we'll just do that. But those impacts are some of the things that I've thought about in my days as an educator. And then again, as I think about the work that we do and those guideposts that are laid out. And one of the aspirational items that I presented to the board is I'd love to have an LGBTQ youth festival choir. And so we're in the current stages of exploring what that could be for LGBTQ youth in the Des Moines Metro and beyond for spring of 2023. Fingers crossed, whatever we need to do, we're going to find ways to make that happen one way or another. And so look for more information to come. But the plan is that we're able to bring LGBTQ youth and their allies together in a way that celebrates hope and the positive message that all LGBTQ folks deserve to see, hear, and feel. It ties probably to that commission piece that I mentioned, where looking at finding the funding to commission a work for LGBTQ Youth Festival Choir and DMG MC Choir in one, and have a little celebratory moment there. Kind of reinforcing the message that you can't be what you don't see. And so seeing that on stage, that the whole stage of us that have thrived not only as LGBTQ people, but right here in the state of Iowa, no matter what color our state might feel at times. So that's another thing that I'm really, really excited about. And then of course, as we think about, you know, the concept of meeting people where they are, one thing that we've realized through some of the self-reflection work is that we have a lot of work to do. And as Wade mentioned, my background as an inclusion practitioner, we know that we have to create that space and place for all LGBTQ folks, no matter what part of the acronym we're talking about, no matter the dimension of diversity. We have to focus on meeting people where they are. And some of that is conversations, you know, like this today, and connecting with folks that say, you know, I've never sung, but I'd love to sing. I sang however many years ago, and getting them back to share this positive message and sing music that matters. And really being intentional. The status quo, if anybody that knows me, I'm a big believer in breaking ceilings, going through and saying, well, why do we do it that way? Challenging and asking those questions and getting really curious, which is something that I continue to bring to the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus and the conversations we have, thinking about my education and inclusion lens. And what I would share with you all is, as we think about this work in the community and the impact that each of us can make and the doors that we can open for others, is thinking about how can we be open about what we don't know? How can we be curious about the things that are untold or that haven't been said by those that might be the quiet person in the room? And then, you know, the last thing that I always anchor back to is just being willing to learn, having that humility of saying, we don't know what we don't know, and that's okay. Those three messages of being open, being curious, and being willing to learn are things that I talk about day in, day out. Whether it's my day job in corporate world or my night job in the nonprofit sector. Those things I found extreme success in throughout my career, educator, musician, or corporate practitioner today. And so I share those with you as you think about the conversation and moving forward in our community. Those three concepts have done me well and have served some of my students and the folks that I have an influence around in and around each and every day. Lastly, as I try to think about some of the other things, time-wise, I have no idea how time I'm at. My apologies, friends. As I think about the additional hopes and dreams of serving as the artistic director, it's just continuing to open the doors, like the doors that were open for me 25 years ago, and can have continued to open, and finding ways that I can influence within my circle of influence to provide those openings for others. The chorus itself, in so many ways, is a beacon of light and hope for LGBTQ people throughout our community and beyond. And as I continue to think about how we grow, it's continuing to think about our outreach. It's continuing to think about conversations, like I said, like this, and showing up in places where we haven't been before. lots of sports ball recently. National anthem here, national anthem there. Thinking about how do we show up in the social media sphere in a new way? How do we continue to show up in written word? I think I've drafted several different articles where I'm like, hey team, what do you think about this? What if we posted this on LinkedIn? They're like, we don't have a LinkedIn. How about we get a LinkedIn? All those types of things. And then lastly, and you'll hear this coming up in June, if you're able to join us for our Pride Cabaret, just be who you want to be. Give you a little teaser on what song might be closing out our concert. Just be with dignity. Each of us have a unique experience and background that we bring to each experience every day. And it's important for us to share our stories and utilize our, I'm going to say the word power, within our sphere of control. To think about meeting people where they are through openness, curiosity, and that willingness to learn, because we have so much still to be done. So with that, since I've gone, like I said, completely off script, I will conclude my official, semi-official comments there. And I would love to just take questions and have a conversation and answer any questions you might have about my background, the chorus, or Eric's two cents on a Friday morning. Questions from the room. I've got one in the back, and then I'll come here and we'll head over here to the far right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great question. I love office supplies. Yep. So the question was, what is the process I go through to select music? And jokingly, of course, I said, I love office supplies. If you see my home office or my work office, it's like, what color of highlighters, all those things, post-its can I have? And I literally start listening and jotting down on different post-its what it looks like. What's the piece? Who wrote it? What's the background? Is it a composer that is, of a certain demographic? Is it an LGBTQ composer? Why was this piece written? And I try to jot it down on a card or a post-it. I always go back to our guideposts. The March concert, as I think about, we titled that one, You Are Enough, thinking about mental health awareness and thinking about the time that we've been in for the last 2 years and the fact that more needs to be said and done about bringing awareness to the needs and concerns for the LGBTQ community around mental health. That particular concert, as I thought about the guideposts and thought about the message we wanted to share, or I wanted to share with the group's help, pressure, it was my first concert too, so then I was a little more like, but I really go through and dig into all of the different things. When we think about singing music that matters to the LGBTQ community and our allies, it's really thinking about all those things I mentioned: the title, why the piece was written, a composer, what style is it. And then I literally go through and I have an Excel sheet with the amount of time each song is, so I know how long the concert is as well. So it goes through various stages of post-its to digital form. And then I have a dear friend, Wade, who says, hey, Eric, I really need the concert list. We got a program that goes to print. And I'm like, but I need to make some more changes. Wade, just get me a draft. So that's kind of how I go through that process. And really thinking about listening, not only to the recordings, but the community as a whole too, taking suggestions from folks. I think I have a holiday suggestion already came before January 1 when I was officially the artistic director for 2022. So constantly taking those things in. I'll head here to Matt.
Just wondering what you did with
yeah.
Chorus.
Yeah. Sure.
Youth suicide right mm-hmm. now. It's three kids committed suicide who were under the age of 13 in January, both counties.
Yeah.
We need to reach these kids. Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued by what sure. you're thinking about it. Would like to support that effort.
You bet. So when we think about LGBTQ youth and from my education days, there was a similar string of teen suicides about the same age. Probably some of the most heart-wrenching moments as a teacher and educator to support youth in that way. And so when I think about this particular initiative and thinking about what we could do for LGBTQ youth, it's thinking about taking the energy that it takes to comfort all the students that are left behind and putting that on the front end. And so through this particular festival course, the plan is to offer a space and a place for these youth to come together, whether they're out and proud as members of the LGBTQ community, or they haven't shared that with others than just maybe their immediate group of friends, really providing that opportunity for them to join through song. As we know, music changes lives in so many different ways. A song can come on and a tear can drop. And so thinking about how we bring them together in a way that provides an educational opportunity for them to make music together, but also provide the opportunity for them to see folks like the members of the chorus, living their authentic self each and every day through music, is one of the things that particular festival chorus will do. I do plan on bringing together a coalition of musicians that will help bring that music to life the day of the festival concert. So basically, similar to selecting music for a concert for the chorus, the full chorus, it's thinking about what are a couple pieces that make sense to share a message with youth. One that comes to mind, and we did sing it just recently at the March concert, was a piece called "You Have More Friends Than You Know." That one I do anticipate being part of the festival concert, so that whether it's themselves hearing that message or their loved ones hearing that message, that there are people we haven't met in our lives, and many of you are in this room I never, thought I would meet myself. But because of this open and loving community, we have so many people that are there to support us through the toughest times. So through that festival chorus, it would be a series of rehearsals throughout a day, bringing people together from various school districts and communities, and putting together a concert that showcases these youth in the place they are in their own journey. So those are the initial thoughts, but definitely happy to chat some more about that. Thanks for asking that. Over here, yeah.
So Eric, I'm Brad. I served on the board of the course for a while, and
sure,
been a long time supporter. And I've always struggled with the solstice concert.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy, or at least traditionally it's been
sure,
heavy and dark. I'm interested in your perspective of where mm-hmm. you're going with solstice.
Yeah, you bet. So Wade mentioned kind of where this particular Pride concert's going. And so I would say in response to that, keep it light, keep it bright, keep it gay. and what I mean by that, I think there's a balance in every concert. So every concert, at least I try to program each concert where there's something that makes you cry, something that makes you laugh, and something that kind of tugs at your heartstrings. So as I look towards the 22nd season, hold on a second. Ooh, 22nd season. Okay. It's thinking about how do we bring those three things to light. When you think about the time from November to January 1, there's 26 plus holidays that are celebrated throughout that time. Not any one person celebrates all of them necessarily, but how do we bring some of those different traditions into our concert and put our own spin on things? My career has been around a lot of production things and storytelling. And so I anticipate a little heightened production value coming to light there. I've spent the last 5 months or so touring different venues around Des Moines. One of them we're in right now, that might be possibilities for where we could perform as well. So thinking about, if you think about lights and glitter and stage and all that, it's a little harder to do in a church. So we're not saying that we wouldn't ever perform in a church again, but there are some things that I'd like to do and have a vision for, which does include lights and costuming and things like that. So I would anticipate, as you look to the future, that things might look slightly different than what you might have just described them as. Yeah.
That's encouraging.
Wonderful. Another question here, and then I'll double check online as well.
Yes, I'm Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan. My husband's one of those. Yeah. You bet. So the good part about the chorus is we're a non-audition group. And so what I do in partnership with Wade is any folks that are interested, info@dmgmc.org, you can send us an email. And then what I like to do is just have an opportunity to sing with folks prior to. It's not a formal audition, but just say, hey, if you haven't sung before, do you have a low voice? Do you have a higher voice? And thinking about just that beginning stage, and then spend rehearsal time utilizing how I differentiate the rehearsal to meet those folks where they are. So some days I'll be like, the dot above the note means it's short. Some days I'll say it's a staccato note. And I reference those in different ways. So at this time, it's really just come one, come all. And we'll find a way to make you successful within the group. And in the last year of really being a part of the organization and leading from a conducting perspective, we've seen growth of folks that have never sung before. We have members coming from various dimensions of diversity, folks that have gone through two voice changes, one as a pubescent child, and then one when they transitioned. And we're finding ways to meet them where they are in current state as well. So the entire spectrum is free to join us at any time. And there are songs out there for all of us. There's that. So if you could talk to my husband, his name's Cliff Hughes, and tell him that, I would love you to do that. Thanks for that. Nothing there? Okay. Other questions or thoughts that I can answer? Yes, right over here. Sure. Yeah. A great question. So around helping a youth in transition or as I think about my work, I actually shared a story on Monday and I'll tie it back to mental health as well, but thinking about a student I had 15 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. Numbers are hard. 5, 6, 7, 8. I actually had a young lady that, was struggling with the pressures of being who she was, not only from her own identity perspective, but also from the pressures around societal images on what the perfect female person should look like. And through music at that time, connected with her in ways that found what she was really, really good at. And that's probably where my journey in education and in the nonprofit sector and in the work I do today kind of started. It's really thinking about how do you elevate the unique abilities of each person. And so at that time, she actually had gone in and out of treatment with family. Not a lot was working at the moment until she really found how powerful music can be. And on Monday night at the last rehearsal we had, I had just shared because she had posted a photo of her family and her husband and child at the time. And so when I think about stories like that, and I think about where we are today in the chorus, we have a few trans members that have joined, like I mentioned, and I can tell you there's a threshold in the rehearsal hall when folks walk in, and the one particular singer I'm thinking of right now, every Monday night when they walk through that door, beams. Because they've never been in a room of people like them. And so I always go back to thinking about the power of music and the power of being visible. And so for the chorus for the last 21 years, oh, we're legal. Time to celebrate. Come to the Pride concert. No, it's really thinking about those little moments like that keep me going and make the work rewarding, no matter how many hours of sleep we don't get or how many coffees we need to drink or emails and texts that Wade and I go back and forth on. But there's so many like that, and I'd be happy to share any time with you on additional ones there. You bet. You bet. All right. So with that, thank you so very much for having me this morning. I look forward to talking with you all again.
Okay. closer. Thank you, Eric. Eric, your message this morning reminded me that everyone's coming out journey is different. I feel it should be so much easier when compared to when I was growing up, until I see the continued need for gay straight alliances and scholarships for gay kids and continued attack on our community, which is now focused on transgender youth in particular. But none of us are free from discrimination unless all of us are. You may not be the target right now, but that could easily change. The Gay Men's Chorus is an amazing way to win hearts and minds, which we hope will reduce that discrimination and attacks on our community. Eric, I can see you will continue to expand the reach of the Gay Men's Chorus in unexpected places. That's our secret weapon to expand and spread our positive message. We hope connecting with youth groups will help gay kids feel loved and reduce suicides and bad things happening to them.